Blog Talk Radio.
Years ago,
many years ago, probably 20 years ago now, I met some goddess worshippers, people who believed in the goddess. It wasn't a god, it was a goddess. And the goddess was the spiritual mother of Earth, you know, of all creation. And over the years, in studying different philosophies and the masculine and feminine yin yang kind of thing, I've discovered that, yes, the whole essence of who we are is of a feminine nature. Not that we're gay or not that we're all, you know, whatever. Just simply that we are products of a feminine spirit. So if that be the case, then that is why men are so attracted to women and so attracted to the feminine wiles and feminine. I mean, you know, I laughed when I heard about the Petraeus scandal recently and looked into it. And, you know, this woman was attracted to Petraeus for reasons, you know. He was a very powerful man. He was semi-attractive. He was, physically fit, if you will, for a 60-year-old man. And he had a lot going for him, I guess, but in the sense that there's a lot of talk about the psychological attraction, the physical, the whole aura of the attraction to a powerful individual. But you have to think of go back into history to the time of David and Bathsheba or Samson and Delilah. You know, it's like the whole bizarre scenario that every man, every powerful man, has been seduced, you know, and can be seduced. And if you think about that, and if you have ever been seduced as a man, I'm speaking to men now, you know what a powerful, incredible attraction that is to some, to a very seductive, very whatever, you know, female. And we, you know, our hormonal instincts are just driven. I mean, we are driven to have sex. You know, that's what we are as people, and what keeps our world producing, you know, reproducing. But the unusual, the interesting aspect to the Petraeus incident, where he was seduced by this attractive 40-year-old woman, who was 20 years his senior, his junior, by the way. So, it says a lot about the frailty of the masculine mind, okay? And how the story is so old, how women have managed to seduce men into revealing secrets or, you know, destroying empires, you know, or whatever it is. And it's just amazing to me, because having been in a number of relationships over the years and in understanding the involvement, where, you know, when a person is involved with an affair, they become completely mindless, you know. It's like, you know, they become insane, you know, to a degree where, you know, they don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean, they're driven by their, you know, by the sex drive, you know, they're driven by a strange attraction. And you know, and throw all caution to the wind. And that's one of our greatest weaknesses as men or women. But, you know, trying to understand, and I've been trying to do this for many, many, many years. I've been trying to formulate some kind of can't put in an equation, but to formulate some kind of philosophy based around this destructive force of the feminine mystique, if you will. And I've fallen for it so many times in my life. You know, I'm sorry, you know. I just have to admit that I have. It's a weakness that every man has. But in the sense that even a child looking in a young girl's, an infant's eyes, they just draw you. They draw you into that incredible world of whatever they are, and you fall in love with them. You know, you fall in love with your children. You fall in love with that, especially female children, because they're so incredibly beautiful. You know, they're so incredibly loving and so giving and so innocent. And you know, and that is part of the allure of the feminine spirit. You know, so that men really have so little control, you know, over their own lives when they're involved with women, because women are the. It's difficult to understand exactly what they are, or how they play this major role in your life, you know. And of course, if you're heterosexual, if you're not, then of course it's not. But you're still controlled in your own way by the feminine spirit, by the feminine biology, you know, if you will. So if you're gay, you are, you know, if you're gay male, you're a bisexual male, you obviously have some kind of mess up there in your mix up in your hormonal or genetic makeup that, you know, but nevertheless, you are controlled by this femininity, within you. Where take a male like myself, who's not gay, but who understands the allure, the tremendous allure of femininity, we become boneheads, you know, completely boneheads sometimes in our relationships, and that is a part of this overwhelming power that women have, you know, and the power is getting greater and greater and greater today as this great blue planet comes toward us, and this is the mother planet, you know. And this has been talked about for, you know, thousands and thousands of years, that the mother will return. And, you know, these are so many, there's so many prophecies relating to this, indigenous as well as, you know, others. But to understand the allure, the power of the feminine, I don't know if I still do, only that I'm vulnerable to it, extremely vulnerable to it, and I've always have been. I grew up with the grandmothers and aunts and mothers, of course, and sister and so on and so on. And the femininity was always there, and the power and the dominance of these women you know, for a young boy, okay, was of course played a tremendous role in my upbringing. And what happened was, as I got older and started to understand that influence, I understood my incredible love for women and affection and, you know, adoration, if you will, in many ways for women. And to this day, even though I'm more reserved in that, I still hold a high regard for them, because it was my life, it was my early childhood, it was my upbringing, it was everything that I was exposed to. Though I had masculine figures and well, grandfather and father, but they paled in comparison to the dominance of the women around me. So I guess I from that early stage, I realized that, you know, I realized, and I was fortunate. I was very fortunate because many people do not have that loving or affectionate or, you know, remarkable childhood, you know, filled with loving parents or loving women and loving grandparents and so on. And they don't, you know, they develop attachment disorders or they're rejected by their parents or something like that. And I feel for those people very much so. But at the same time, in my own, speaking from my own perspective, I developed over the years not only admiration for women, but such an attraction to them that in my early years I was extremely pro, you know, I dated a lot, you know, and in later years, and then when I married young, because I wanted to stop that particular part of me. I wanted to I wanted that monogamous relationship. I wanted to sense and feel and know one particular woman. And once I did, I realized the depth of that remarkable individual. And, you know, we created a life together, and we had a really, really interesting life. But later we grew apart. And by growing apart, maybe it was my own sense of, I don't know, wanderlust, if you will, or my own needs that weren't being met, or my own desires that I had greater desires, more. It's really difficult for me to explain that. However, most people, when they get into a situation where they're in a long-term marriage or whatever, and they are brought into a position of an affair, when somebody else comes into their lives, there's a tremendous, unusual, overwhelming attraction to that person. And it's the same way from the other side. The woman can be extremely attracted to the male. And for some cataclysmic reason, some fateful reason, they lock together and they become this unbelievable sexual machine, you know. It's mindless insanity, you know, that takes over. I mean, I, you know, I, I'm, I'm speaking from my own experiences, but you know, most people who have ever indulged in those kind of situations probably understand it better as well as I do, that there's an animal instinct that just takes over your whole mind and your body, and you involve yourself daily, you know, with incredible lust and incredible sexual desires, and you know, fulfilled, and it's more than it, you don't think in terms of morality, or you don't think in terms of even sanity. It's totally insane, you know, this animal attraction, this instinctual attraction that you have for another person. And it doesn't have to do with love. It simply has to do with common instinct, common attraction, something is basic, more basic than anything you've ever imagined. But you are locked into each other for whatever the duration is, and until you're exposed, you know, until your relationship's exposed, and then you go into some reclusive period of time, or you know, God knows what, you know, and face divorce and face every other god awful thing known to man. But what I wanted to talk to you tonight about, because it's so prevalent in the news, is the attraction of the affair. The affair is one of that affects almost every marriage sooner or later. I had to laugh. I believe when my marriage was broken up over this, I remember seeking advice from people, and you know, the wisest man that I knew said, "You were crazy, man. You should have just had a prostitute." And I said, "You know, I couldn't do that for some reason. You know, not something that I really. It wasn't for that reason that I did it. It was a reason that was far more involved. Men don't necessarily go to a prostitute. Unless they're not getting anything at home, or they're totally, fetished out or some sort. They need some other special thing." When you become involved in an affair, it's more of a life-changing, totally life-changing episode, because you don't know what you're doing anymore. It affects you to the base core of who you are. It changes your personality. It changes your goals. It changes your life. To the extent that your life, you can throw away, knowingly throw away the life that you had, or the life that you want, or even for that moment, that incredible, unbelievable moment of sexual ecstasy that you experienced. I don't know what it is. To this day, I think back and I say, well, you know, of the many involvements that I've had over the years, there was that one that was remarkable, and it turned out horribly. But nevertheless, through the time frame that it lasted, which was several years, it was so overwhelming that it changed both of our lives and affected so many other people's lives. become so myopic and we become so insulated in your own thoughts and your own beliefs and your own whatever, that you say to yourself, this can't be wrong. You know, this great old song, if this is wrong, I don't want to be right, you know. And it feels that way, you know. It feels that way. And then later on, you face the inevitable, you know, of ruin or divorce or, you know, reconciliation or whatever it may be. But nevertheless, you never forget that the rest of your life, no matter where you are, the incredible intensity of that moment, of that time. And I don't know why that is, but if you can imagine living on the edge, the total edge of sexual freedom, orgasm, madness, then that's essentially where you're at, and for that time, two people will become insane, you know, if they're both involved together in the same that way. Some, of course, are not. Some are manipulative and, you know, whatnot. But unfortunately, those who fall into this thing, into an affair involuntarily, find themselves in a void, in a vast morass of craziness, because everything they want is there, that other woman. Everything they desire, you know, sexually or whatever, physically, is there, and is gratified to the utmost. So, trying to accept that in a moral sense, in an ethical sense, you can't, other than to say that we are animals and we are sexually attracted to one another, and this stuff happens, you know. I can't explain it any better than that, other than to say that our lives are simply generated by our own sexuality. And as we age, and I've said sexuality diminishes, and as our testosterone or estrogen levels or whatever they may be, both male and female, as we get older, those drives become lesser and lesser and lesser, because physically we're more or less unable to perform. But the overwhelming power of an affair, a romantic seduction, an affair, is so powerful, it will destroy all lives, destroy all sensibility, destroy all everything, you know, and just make absolutely no sense at all. But it's part of what we are. And as a man, to be so easily duped by a naked woman or a seductive woman, in the case of Petraeus, that makes me laugh, that is, the emails, the continual flow of communication between Goodwill and him, suddenly, eventually seduced him into working or in whatever activity that you're in, but so many affairs happen during your work, while you're working, with some woman or man that you're, you know, attracted to. And one thing leads to another, and before you know it, you're sharing a bed with somebody, you know, or a car seat or something or other, whatever you happen to be. They have. So, but I guess what I wanted to, what I want to say, and I don't think I'm getting off the subject here tonight at all, but what I wanted to emphasize was the power of the feminine to manipulate the masculine mind, or what's worse, to make the masculine mind go crazy, you know. And boy, that happens. If anybody's married or in a relationship, men are continually going crazy, and men drive women crazy, and vice versa. But man, when there is that intimate moment, you know, it's the ultimate. You know what I mean? It's just the ultimate. And, you know, there's nothing more than that. It's what makes the world go round, you know. I guess I'm not really of the I had a friend of mine who lost went through a divorce and lost his marriage and wound up remarrying to this woman that he had an affair with. And his life was better, I guess, for some time. And they lived together quite well for a while. But these, you know, it totally annihilated his 20-year marriage, you know, his kids and so on. But hey, yeah, this stuff happens. It just happens. And I remember when I said, what made you do it? And he just smiled and said, you know, I don't know. I just couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't be that other guy anymore. And this person just overwhelmed me, you know. So, I don't know. There's something to be said about the reasons we do things, but everybody I've ever known who's had an affair has been confused as to how it happened and why it happened. Exactly, but nevertheless, it did happen, and it changed their lives forever. And in some ways, I honestly believe it's a destiny, it's fate. You know, fate has a way of clobbering you. You know, it either gives you poor health or a divorce situation or financial ruin or whatever it may be. But fate has a way of humbling a man or a woman. And fate did that to me, did that to my friends. It's done it to everybody that I know, I'm sure millions and millions and millions and billions and billions of people. But the odd thing is that we have to understand, once we get over the rush of hormones and rush of attraction and things get to somewhat normal, we start to look at each other in that relationship and start to realize, you know, what are we doing? What did we do? What did we give up? What did we, you know, And when that reality sets in, it can be rather numbing. And that's why some people go back to their spouses or back to their families. Some people don't or can't, you know, and spend their lives in regret. I, on the other hand, I never had any children, which made it a whole lot easier. But I regret the hurt that I caused to other people, ex-wives. And I regret that in a big way. But at the same time, I can't ever deny the incredible time that was. How you felt alive, how you felt I can't explain it. But when you fall that way, when you fall that far down the rabbit hole into this other dimension of lust and love and whatever it is, you just become overwhelmed. And you lose your perspective on reality, if that's possible. Like Petraeus did, you know. I mean, there was a man who was the head of the CIA, who had, you know, was the top gun in the country. And he lost his mind over this woman. So, you know, I'm sure he regrets it. But I'll tell you the truth. For much of what he probably did, I bet he thinks about that and goes, wow, you know, wow. If that was a hot and heavy relationship involved, it was more than he could possibly control himself to overwhelm, to overcome. And the same with her, possibly. Unfortunately, in so many relationships and affairs, it always seems to be the woman that gets the raw end of the deal, and that the man either leaves or, you know, the woman is, you know, seen as a homewrecker or whatever it may be. But women have this remarkable attraction as well. I mean, women understand this, that it it's not just their power. I mean, it's the masculine power as well. It overwhelms them. And they become pliable. Just as the man becomes pliable, you know? And you merge into one another in a way that you never did before. You possibly never knew you could before. And when you have that intense relationship with a woman or a man, I guess, you lose all perspective of reality. You lose all focus, you know, on anything. And what happens when you get into relationships? Your career's failure. You know, everything goes to hell in a handbasket because you are so wrapped up in this ball of lust and love and intensity and secrecy and all of these things that you nothing makes sense to you anymore from a normal perspective, you know. So bringing to the forefront here, what I'm trying to do is just to say that I don't blame a guy like Petraeus. I don't blame anybody who's gotten into those kind of relationships, because you fall into them. It's not something that you're prepping. It's not something you want. It's something that happens, you know? And damn it, when it happens, it is explosive. It's like an atom bomb going off in your life. And you can't control that, you know? And oddly enough, if you do control it, if you do walk away from it, if you do say no to it, you find yourself regretting or thinking about it, continually saying, God, I could have had that. I could have. What if I had done that? What if I had, you know? And so it's more of a. I can't explain it unless somebody's been there. They'll understand it, but I don't understand it myself fully. Only that it happens, and that you become numb with, you know, this attraction, of this desire, this, you know, fulfillment of this desire, this whatever. And it can leave you it can leave you broke, it can leave you alone, it can leave you miserable. But for the time that it exists, you're on top of the world. And you never thought it would end. And, you know, that's the what it is. It's as though you're spellbound. Spell comes over you, you know. And maybe that's why women were always seen as witches or something and could cast this spell of seduction over men. And they do so easily. But men have the power over women as well. It's not just, it's a two-edged sword. Lust is a two-edged sword. Affairs of the heart, the romantic affairs, are a two-edged sword. They're brought on by both parties, attracted to both, you know, involved with both, you know, where they just merge into each other and they think of each other constantly. They, in, you know, their lives are wrapped around each other in some strange way, and they can't wait to meet one another, to have sex with each other, to be with each other. And this is the odd insanity of human relations, male and female relations. And it never goes away, really. If you're fortunate, and I believe I am extremely fortunate, that I've found a relationship that I love. I have found the woman that I adore, and, you know, and I've been with for 12, 13 years now. And for that reason, I'm a extremely, extremely fortunate man. And to a point where at one time I was about to give up on it. I was about to consider monastic life, if you will, just because I could never find any sanity in relations, my relationships with women. They were always sexual, or they were always volatile, and always something that I didn't believe could be a long term any longer. It could not be without extreme suffering, or possibly the, you know, another affair, kind of, you know, infidelity on either part. So the thought of monogamy was almost out of my mind at that point. I just didn't believe it existed in any real sense until I met a person that I totally adored. And when that happened, it became, you know, a whole another world for me. And my attitude toward the feminine spirit became not one of caution and doubt, but one of acceptance and love, you know, and understanding that this is a marvelous, marvelous creation. And that, you know, when things work right in a relationship, there's nothing better. So, be it spiritual or otherwise, I was told by a friend of mine, a psychic, in fact, some of you may remember Maria Algieri, had mentioned to me that this experience that I'm in was destined, and that we had met in many, many other lifetimes ago, or possibly in every lifetime that we experienced. And we were destined to meet again in this one. So I have a tendency to believe that because of the unusual way that Lila and I met. And, you know, relationships are difficult. But understanding the feminine spirit and having studied it as extensively as I have over the last many, many years, I've come to a compromise with myself and an acceptance, and a full acceptance, that women are a whole hell of a lot smarter than I am, anyway. More generous, more loving, more giving, more intelligent. Possibly not all of them, but some of them. I've just fallen into a wonderful pool of crystal blue water of a relationship, you know. And I feel very fortunate about that, and I hope that it endures the many, many years and into old age and so on. But that would be a wonderful thing. But for those who struggle still with that dubious concept of, can you trust a woman? You know, can you trust a relationship? Can you actually have this? I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's simply a matter of your own priorities. And God forbid you don't fall into the soup that I've swam in, and millions of other men have swam in. And that's, you know, involving yourself in a star-crossed love affair of some sort. So, you know, it's important to disengage yourself sometimes from your past and all of your past problems with relationships or whatever else it is, and embrace the splendor, embrace the concept accept it and understand that the male truly is inferior to the female. You know, let's face it, guys, you know, they make babies, we don't. many spies have been women that have, Mata Hari. So you just don't know. But that is one area in the masculine mind that seems like it can never, ever win. For that reason, we are fools. And we will always remain fools when we're confronted with the feminine spirit. And that's just the way we are. We either become angry, belligerent, violent, whatever they may be, to try to rebut these things. You burn them at the stake. the entire thing is absurd. How men have tried to, the entire Catholic Church has tried to suppress women over the years, suppress everything, the men are vowed to celibacy and all this kind of stuff, but they can't. They can't beat it. No matter what they do, they cannot beat the power of the feminine spirit. And I'm going to ask everybody to hold on to their, seats, because we're headed for now in the next few months, December, January, coming into the new Aquarian Age, we are headed for a complete feminine takeover of the world and the universe. It's happening. It's happening now as we speak. So I'm saying, please get ready for it. If you're not, understand it. Understand that it's happening. You cannot fight it. All you can do, you cannot resist it. You have to accept it, and you have to understand it, and you have to say, okay, it's okay. Just try to control yourself when it happens. Because now, and in days coming, women will become the predators, as opposed to men. Women will be the predators. And just by overwhelming, just by their overwhelming nature, all the power will be with them. So from that, I guess we can look forward to some very, very interesting times ahead. But I want to leave you tonight with the thought that everything's good. Women are wonderful. Companions to men and mothers of our kids. And for those reasons, we should be kind, loving, caring for them. And as much as we possibly can, being men, understand them, tolerate them, be understanding. Because in so many ways, they have a lot more at stake than we do. And a lot more to think about. And a lot more to be concerned about. And I guess it's time now that they come into power. And that's happening now. So prepare for it. Be ready for it. And know that you've heard it here first. And with that, I'm going to say good night. And I'm going to say thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.